Welcome to the Wealth Juice Podcast, where we talk real estate, business, entrepreneurship, and building a better life. Living life on your own terms is a choice. We're bringing you the blueprint and success stories of those who are doing just that. We hope you enjoy the show.
Tim, officially welcome to the Wealth Juice Podcast. Corey and I are so excited to have you on the show, man. It's been a long time coming. I know you and Corey have been connected for a while now, and finally glad to put a face to a name myself and have you on the show. So thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Good to see y'all.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So let's dive in. I think today we want to talk Mobile Home Park 101. We've had a lot of people asking about this. It's something that we haven't talked about a lot. And I know you're an ace in the space. So take us through your story, how you became an investor. And then I really want to dive into the nitty gritty of mobile home parks.
Yeah, dude. So my story, I mean, you know, I grew up, I got a safe job as a nurse. I went and got my bachelor's of nursing. And I did that for a long time. I didn't know anything about wealth or money or whatever. Found real estate, heard about mobile home parks from Bigger Pockets. You know, Brandon's talking to Frank Rolfe, and it excited me. Like I there's just something about it, you know. And so, yeah, found it, went for it. I'm good at taking action, especially taking action without knowing all the parts and all the pieces. But I learned pretty quickly, especially by doing stuff. So yeah, found a deal, closed it, figured out how to run it. It's always learning something, you know, new and interesting. But like the heart of a mobile home park, it's all like, it's just a niche multifamily, you know, it's like an apartment. It's like you got 30 people who live on a property, but instead of all being in one building, they're all in their own individual little buildings. So it's an exciting asset.
Quick break from the episode to tell you about something we're really excited about. We just launched the Wealth Juice Real Estate Network, a brand new online community hosted on School. That's SKOOL, built to connect aspiring investors, experienced investors, and investor-friendly agents all in one place. Here's why we created this. If you're an aspiring investor, you've probably felt overwhelmed with where to start, who to trust, how to find your first deal. Inside this group, you'll get connected with the right people, see real deals being shared, and build confidence by learning alongside others who have already taken action. If you're a current investor, you know your next deal often comes from your network. This is the place to build relationships with agents, wholesalers, lenders, and serious investors, so you can expand your deal flow and scale faster. And if you're an agent who works with investors, this is where you want to be. Build your brand, showcase your listings, connect directly with people actively looking to buy. You'll stand out and grow your pipeline with the right kind of clients. We built this to give massive value for less than a dollar a day, just $27 a month, and it's already packed with action takers from our podcasts, social platforms, and personal investing circle. So if you're ready to grow your connections, see more deals, and surround yourself with a serious community who are actively doing deals, hit the link in our show notes and join the Wealth Juiced Real Estate Investor Network today. We'll see you inside. You and I have known, so you, me, and Ryan have known each other actually from, and this is the power of networking, right? We've known each other from another mastermind, and I think that's why we're on this call today. So I want to talk about in the beginning stages when you were a nurse, and then the transition to like going into this stuff. Like, who did you rely on? Like, how did you even know? It sounds like you were like, oh, I'll just do this because I'm not afraid of taking action. But how did you take that initial first step into like, okay, I want to be in mobile home parks, maybe deciding on that niche, but then also like, who did you lean on? Or was it really just podcasts? And then you're like, I'm just going to go do it myself.
Okay. So it wasn't as baller as that. That definitely, you know, discounts all the other people. So, you know, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and like, I was like, oh, like asset liability, it was all new. And so like from there, I found other like real estate meetups. And I went and I just sat and I didn't know anything. And I just learned from people and I listened. And it's like all these different possibilities that I had no idea about anything. But yeah, I when I was working as a nurse, I was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday afternoons. And then every Tuesday morning, there was a local RIA, Real Estate Investors Association meetup. And I just go like every Tuesday. I just learn. And at the same time, you know, read books, listen to podcasts, like digest as much information as I could. And so there, like by the time I heard about mobile home parks, I already kind of had, you know, that initial, like, okay, like, what is this? How does it work? At least the high level stuff.
So you're learning, like, you know, you're learning on the fly, you're going to meetups, you're doing all this. Let's talk about like your first deal that you actually did. Because when I met you, like you were, I guess it was probably a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago when we met. And, you know, you were already doing deals. You were knee deep or waist deep or maybe even shoulder deep into deals. But I want to know about that first one and how that went. Maybe if you could talk about the numbers and what it looks like, because Ryan and I have invested in Airbnbs. We've invested in short-term rental. I'm sorry. Multifamily. We've invested in long-term rentals, but we've never done even touched mobile home park. And I think that's, I'm actually a little bit proud to say that, because it's like how many, you know, there's, you got to focus on a couple things that you're good at and not try to spread yourself too thin. But people ask us about it all the time. So you'd be a great person to lean in. So like, what does that first deal look like? And how'd you find it? How'd you underwrite it? Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah. So that's good, by the way, like leaning into what you're good at. Like that has been life-changing for me. But yeah, so, you know, at the end of the Bigger Pockets podcast, Frank Rolfe said, go check out mobilehomeparkstore.com, and his partner owns it. And I thought it was a very fake sounding website, but I went to it anyway. And through there, I found my first park, and the first park was 36 pads. 10 of them were occupied with tenant owned homes, and they were paying like $125 lot rent. And, you know, I just, on the website, there's a, like, it was listed by the owner. So I contacted him. I called, got a voicemail, and didn't leave a voicemail because I don't like leaving voicemails if I can help it. And so I just texted him and I was like, hey, I'm not sure if I got the right person, but my name's Tim. I'm interested in buying your mobile home park. And then, you know, I don't remember how long it took, but he called me back and it was so like nerve-wracking because this was my first investment property, you know, like it. I don't know any of this stuff. I'm just kind of doing it and figuring out as I go. But he calls and he was the nicest guy. He's just very, you know, very much like talking, why are you getting rid of it sort of thing. And, you know, he's a retired pharmacist who wants to go spend more time with his daughter and her husband and his grandbaby, you know, their kid. So, and they're up in Chicago. So he's like, I just want to sell it because I don't have the time anymore or the desire for it. And so, you know, just building kind of that relationship with them really helped. And so like, you know, fast forward to, he said, you know, at the end of the call, come up, you know, it's an hour 15 for me in kind of the country in South Carolina. He said, come on up. We'll show you the park. We'll talk a little bit more. And so I went there. And I had, you know, I based all, my underwriting was very rudimentary. Like I'm very not the details person. And like, I've since found the details person, but at the time it's like, okay, well, Frank Rolfe says, and there's 125 spaces, $125 lot rent times 10 spaces, you know, put like a 10 cap on it, which you don't put a 10 cap on things. At least, I mean, you can, but like, you're probably not going to get it. So anyway, like I underwrote it. The guy was asking like almost $400,000. Everything was telling me I could only pay like $114,000. And so I went up there nervous about everything because everything was new to me and meeting people and touring properties. All of it was new. And I was going to go up there and offer way, way less than what he wanted. But I was confident, like I at least had reason, you know, like I'm not just trying to lowball. I'm trying to see like how a bank would look at it. And so I go up there. He's, again, the nicest guy. He and his brother both were there. They showed me the park, nicest people. And, you know, we go to lunch and I have like everything written out. And so I'm like presenting the offer and like, I know to do this only because I'm listening to how other people do things, but I'm like, this is where we're at. These are the numbers. Like, here's my math basically. And because of that, I can only offer you this. And he's, you know, automatically was like, no, I can't do that. And I was like, okay, well, I tried, I failed. I'll keep going. And then he comes back and he's like, I can't do that, but I can do, I can't go any lower than 250. And I was like, okay, okay. If I do 250, can we do that? And he's like, yeah. And I said, will you finance everything? And I only knew owner finance because I was hanging out with the right people in the you know, REIA group. They're all older Southern guys who didn't like dealing with the banks if they could help it. So that was their like go-to thing, seller finance. And I asked it and he said, no, but I'll finance 50,000 of it. And I said, cool, cool, good. I didn't even I left. I didn't even have a contract signed because I had one contract with 114,000 or whatever. And that's it. I didn't have a backup. So again, super green. I knew nothing. He totally could have been like, I'll do it. And then he could have turned around and sold to someone else. But he didn't. He's, you know, a nice guy, man of his word. I went to meet up with a friend who I thought knew a lot of real estate. And you know, whether or not that was true, that's something else to be seen. But so I went, I was like, okay, look, I got this under contract. What do we got to do? And he said, well, we got to find a bank. We got to find a bank to lend on it. And then we got to find some equity to some capital to bring to it. Basically, side note, I went to him because I thought he was the one who would have all the capital. I found out later he did not. He just dressed fancy. He didn't have any money. But yeah, so a lot of calling banks, you know, I was a new investor. I had never done mobile home parks. And also mobile home parks are definitely more difficult to get financing on than a lot of other things. Called like 20 banks, heard 20 no's. Finally, you know, was talking with the seller and I was like, I don't know if we can buy this from you because I can't find a bank. He said, well, I have someone I grew up with who's a vice president of a bank. How about you go talk to him? And so I talked to him and again, fast forward, he said, okay, I'll lend 70%. I'll lend 70% of the 250 to you guys. So the 175. And the seller already said that he would lend 50 to us. So I just had to make sure that, okay, what are the repayments on the 50,000? And we got to keep this at a good DSCR level for the bank. So figure that out. And then we're like $25,000 short. And so we brought in another partner who had 25,000, wanted to come into a mobile home park deal. And then I brought like 6,300-ish for closing. And then it was closed. And there was a lot of like ups and downs. There was a lot of like, I think I'm overpaying for this. And a lot of, I don't think that we're going to be able to do it. We should just drop it and walk away and figure something else out. But I just kept pushing, just kept going and eventually got it closed.
Tim, there's so many lessons in this. I can't even like, first of all, the biggest thing that struck me by your story is the willingness for somebody who's been in the game for a long time to chat with somebody who you thought would have no, like, I can't even get in touch with this person. There's no way they'd even like have a conversation with me. And meanwhile, they ended up being the nicest guys. What does that tell you? People with wealth are, they're sometimes they're trying to give back. They're trying to train up the new generation. They gave you the time of day. You ended up not just calling one bank, but calling 20 banks. Then going back to the guy who did the deal and he wanted to get the deal done so bad that he gave you the contact in the bank. To me, this is a 100% limiting belief buster, if you will, of people that are like, okay, you need to make more calls. You need to talk to more people. You need to believe that there are good people out there that will help you through this process, even if it's not all like sharks out there. Like this guy essentially made the deal work and gave you all the contacts, and he ended up being the guy that gave you your first mobile home park deal. I just think more people need to hear a story like this. It's like, you know, there's, you can create mentorship even through just making sure you're chatting with enough owners who have other deals going on. So what's that deal look like now? Like, what's the status of it? I'm just curious, and we'll get into more stuff, but I'm
wondering. Yeah, I've done a lot of work on it, brought in a lot of homes, figured out how to bring in new homes. So we're at, let's see, we bought it at 10 of 36 occupied. We have 25 of 36 occupied. And then like all the plots are all like individually deeded plots of land. So like I'm basically owner financing all the rest of the plots of land. So if you look at it like that, like technically it's like 33 of 36 occupied right now. So greater than 90% occupancy based on the, you know, rent roll on income coming in. So it was great because I had to figure stuff out. Like, that was totally the best part of things. I mean, I got friends, I got mentors, I got people who I could turn to and ask questions. But a lot of it was like figuring out the unknown and being like, okay, it's bigger in my head. It's scarier in my head. When I actually go and do the work, it's like, oh, it's just a lot of little things to do the work. It's nothing too crazy.
So Tim, one of the underlying themes here, or just something, a constant that I've been hearing here, we're talking about mentors, and you can have a mentor for every aspect of your life. But at the end of the day, a mentor is only going to get you 85 to 90% of the way there. And then you're going to have to take action and do it yourself. And I just love your story of going through the fire and realizing, hey, you're not just going to get a deal under contract easily. And then after it's under contract, you're not just going to get to the finish line easily. You're going to, especially that first deal. So learning all these things just makes you more bulletproof as you go into future deals. But I want to talk about this for new investors. I want to talk about why you chose mobile home park investing versus the typical single family duplex, maybe multifamily route. And then also, can you break it down on an elementary level what a mobile home park actually is? I want people to be able to visualize, like, when they pull up to this type of property, what it actually is and how they can potentially like view it in their heads. Cause I think a lot of people might think it's like, hey, is this like a trailer park? Are there Airstreams? Is it like, what actually is it? And that'll help kind of paint the picture for the rest of the episode.
Sure. So, I got into it because it was different and Frank Rolfe was talking about, like, you know, you got sticky tenants, you got lower expense ratios, you know, it's people just renting the land generally. And then like though, I loved those three things. And then I also loved that it was a little bit different. So sure, everyone's doing wholesaling, everyone's doing single families, everyone's doing duplexes, everyone's doing apartments, blah, 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 blah. I like that it wasn't that everyone wasn't doing it. It was different. That's just kind of how my mind works. Like, when everyone's doing one thing, I'm like very suspect of it. And when, like, I'm always like, okay, what's the thing people aren't looking at? And then I'm usually go that way. And then, like, super simplified, right? It is super simplified. It's not anything more complex than this. You have a piece of land, and then you have different mobile homes on this one commercial piece of land generally. And then, you know, you charge lot rent for all these homes. And it's like renting the land. Sometimes you own the homes, sometimes you don't own the homes. But the fundamental thing is, you know, people have their mobile homes or manufactured homes, or call it what you will, trailers if you want to call old POS homes. But really, it's a manufactured home. It does not move. They say it's mobile because it ships from the factory. But once it's set up on your land, it does not move. It can, but it's very costly. It's like $5,000 to $10,000 to move it, and then another probably $7,000 to $15,000+ to set it up elsewhere. So, you know, if you're visualizing it, just think plot of land, individual homes, and people are living in these individual homes.
Got it. So I want to know about the springboarding and what your portfolio looks like now. Like, talk to me about how, you know, you're able to get this first deal. I get to paint a picture of like what the actual deals look like, how they're structured. You know, Rye asked the question about like, you know, what is a mobile home park actually, and how is it different than a trailer park or whatever. But I'm curious about what your portfolio looks like, and, you know, talking today in 2025, and how you've built up this is like your niche for you.
Yeah. So I love real estate. It compounds. You know, everyone talks about how it compounds and it's slow, and it was very similar to me. I bought my first one in 2019, and then my second one in 2021, and my third one in 2022. And fast forward to today, we have 16 mobile home parks and like 605 pads, I think. And yeah, just like you guys were saying earlier, really focusing on just blinders, only mobile home parks, that has helped me tremendously. Like, I have a small RV park. We just sold the one apartment building I was part of. But like, at one point I wanted to do everything, and it was very slow. And then when I really focused on mobile home parks and I could, you know, I'm just going for this and I'm just, you know, gonna do these. And then eventually what helped even more was like, okay, I'm working with this one guy who's really good at details and I'm not really good at details. I'm pretty crappy at details. So he's like coming in and doing this one integral part of the business. And then from there, you know, we've built up like a really solid team where everyone is amazing at what they're doing and not doing the things that they don't like or they're not good at. So it's interesting growing a business and like really focusing the heights that I've been able to achieve and like even bigger, like the vision that I'm able to cast.
So Tim, I want to talk about this. Can you talk about the transition between you staying at the nursing job and then going into full-time investor mode? Cause you mentioned, you know, it hasn't been that long going from zero to 600 plus units, right? Obviously it takes building a team and all that, but there's stepping stones to this. So take us through, you're still working the W-2, you got this first deal. Was it deal 2, 3, 4? Like, when did you decide it was time to leave? How much cash were you bringing in? I'm just so curious because there's a lot of people listening that are in that W-2 cycle that are looking to escape.
Yeah, man. So I talk about this and I'm like, people probably shouldn't do it like me. And how I did it is I had one park. I think I was getting into my second park, but there wasn't even close to replacement income. I had just had like, I sold a condo that I had and, you know, it was a great time to sell. I had a bunch of cash and savings and I was just like, well, I'm going to make the leap. I don't have the replacement income, but I'm going to figure it out. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure it out. And so I left and, you know, it was interesting always having that, you know, every 2 week paycheck. It freaked me out. I didn't have that. Sure, I had a lot of cash and it was just me, no kids, you know, single guy. It was relatively easy, but it scared the crap out of me. And so because I was scared, I went and looked into other asset classes. I looked at like single family wholesaling and I tried that and I lost a ton of money in it because I wasn't interested in the process. I don't give a shit, if we're being honest, about single family wholesaling or single family homes. Not my thing. But I like the idea of the money. And because I was just chasing money, I failed and I lost a lot of money. And so like by the end of, let's see, I quit in September 21, all through 22, I was, you know, figuring things out. How could I do this? I ended up picking up, you know, the third mobile home park, but that didn't cash flow at all. It was all like money put back into the project. And, God, at the beginning of 23, I'm looking for another nursing gig. I had blown through savings. I, you know, was in credit card debt, all that crazy stuff. And what happened, what changed my mind or changed my perspective was thinking, oh, I don't need to do a different thing. I need to learn how to make money off of the thing that I really like. And so from there, I took like acquisition fees. You know, I got 7 parks in 2023, you know, 3 different transactions. And so, yeah, I took the acquisition fee. I took consistent management fees and stuff like that. And not that much, but enough to get me by. And then, you know, 24 comes and I start working with my partner, Matthias, who's the details guy. And, you know, in the underwriting, he bakes in, okay, this is what we're going to get paid on each deal. So it's not just I'll figure this shit out. Like I can take mobile home parks down. I can get equity. That's easy. You know, I can build that up, but equity doesn't pay my bills. So now like with him, like, oh, we have this underwriting thing where we're finding deals that, first of all, it hits investor returns because with him was the first time I ever raised any capital. And second of all, it's also paying us consistently. Like these are the deals we need. Every other deal, like, you know, we don't need that. So it was an interesting, like, jumping into the water without like any kind of life raft or whatever, and then just figuring it out. And the ups and downs, man, that's That's definitely anyone who's looking to get into entrepreneurship should expect ups and downs.
I couldn't agree more. And also sometimes it takes your back against the wall to actually force you to make the decision that you should have made a while ago, but then you don't know that you need to make it until you're like, I'm in credit card debt. I don't have cash left. And then like the fight or flight creeps in and you do what you need to do. And I think there's some power in that. I want to get into, there's so many people out there that, you know, I just got off a call before this. There's people that are looking for partners, that are looking for other people to do deals with. They don't know where to find them. How did you find your partner? And what was the way that you went about that? Because Ryan and I kind of have a little bit of a cheat code, right? Like we met in college, like we became best friends. Like it was easy for us to partner, even though everyone told us not to do it. And we're so glad that we didn't listen to them. But that partnership's a little bit rare. You know, if you don't have like a college guy, a best friend or whatever, like you might not know where to find your partner. So how did you find your partner and how did that work out?
So like from the beginning, I always wanted to find people like that I could grow together with, like forming a partnership that's like bigger than me, you know. And like over the years, I partnered with lots of different people and like good people. Most of them are all, you know, good people, but like not like long term partners. And it was interesting. I had to date them by getting in a deal with them to be like, oh, okay, this is how you work. Like that's great. I get it. But we don't have that synergy together. The way I found Matthias is really, I was in a paid group with him, you know, a multifamily group. And, you know, we had talked, but a lot of it was just me being the mobile home park guy and people like, hey, you know, I know you're into this. And then what he did, so he's like a super go-giver. And he's like, hey, like there's 4 mobile home parks up here in the upstate South Carolina. I live up here. I know how good the area is. I want to make a go at it. And I'm like, that's amazing. I've already been talking with the broker on and off, you know, for with this deal for a while. And we couldn't make anything work. I thought it was max $3.2 million is what I could pay. But again, I'm high level, so I didn't figure out like the details. I gave him like all the info I had and like talked to the broker one more time. The broker said we could probably get it done for, you know, 3.85 considering where the seller is right now. Like they had been going down and down and down and down. So I gave Matthias that and I was like, this is where it is. He underwrote the deal and like, you know, we went through it. And I was like, that's actually totally like that makes everyone a ton of money. That kills it for investors. It kills us for us. That makes sense now. So like I had to have someone come and lay it out in front of me like that. But the way I find invest or partners is just doing what I'm doing and doing it really big and casting big visions because I'm good at that. I can do it. And then like, you know, if I was new, I would say, okay, what am I really good at? And who is a lot bigger than me who I can provide value to? That's how you, you know, that's how you get a good partner in whatever, you know, provide value first with no expectation. You know, there are people who like it, the more I do this, the more different kinds of people come out and are like, oh, I want to be a part of it. I see what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. And I'm like, dude, that's great. That's so great. And then, you know, there'll be someone like, okay, what's this pay? And I'm like, bro, like that's backwards. You know, you do it because you like it. And then just like accept that we build in the pay, but the pay doesn't come first. You know, you got to do a lot of work with that, like nothing at first, at least in my experience and the people around me and all the people who are like super go-givers and providing that value. I'm like, okay, this person keeps showing up. I'm going to get them in deals. I don't know that the ins and like exactly how or like what it's going to look like, but I know I really enjoy working with this person. And so we have this awesome person I met in Action Academy who like underwrites a ton of deals for us. And, you know, Matthias trained her how to underwrite in the way that we're looking for it. And she's coming in to our like asset manager and our next deal. So she's getting equity. She'll get monthly cash flow and like all this stuff. And it's like, because she provided that value first, you know, and we can see like, yes, we want her part of as part of this team. And as this team grows really, really big, like that means she grows really, really big with us because she came in with the right attitude, the right mindset.
That's huge, man. I think there's so many little nuggets within this thing, but what I really appreciate about the conversation, the way you handle things, is you do a lot of trial and error. And I think a lot of people, it sounds very basic, right? But people get in over their heads or let the mental battle overtake them, and they never take action and they never go try to find a partner because they don't think it's going to work out. Or they're afraid that the first partner is not going to be the perfect partner. And then they're going to have to do five more and they don't want to do it. And so, you know, Corey and I have learned, having done 300 plus episodes like this and meeting so many different entrepreneurs, it's the ones that just keep going no matter what. Like you, 90% of your competition is going to fall off if you just keep going. I know you have to stick with it for 10 plus years, which sounds kind of crazy, but a lot of us are crazy enough to do that, right? And I think you've seen so much success just by not wavering, dude. And it's pretty impressive to see you're always willing to take a leap and then keeping those who are synergized with you around you, because it's important to keep those people. I think, you know, Corey and I have tried a bunch of different partnerships, and we've always been let down in one way or another with everyone else except for ourselves. And so that's this thing. It just makes it makes us feel good in a lot of ways. We're like, okay, we got lucky early on. We found the right person. But at the end of the day, it's because we don't put money first all the time. You say the go-giver mentality that you mentioned, like that's really the cornerstone of us. And we just know the rest is going to come in the future as long as we keep attacking this thing the right way. But there are so many opportunities that come up once you start making a name for yourself. And when people know that you can take deals down and you know how to analyze them, they want to get into deals with you and they want to JV with you, whatever it is. We kind of talked about this pre-recording, but a lot of people just want to hop on a call to, you know, air quote here, pick your brain so they can find a way into your business and or present you with another shiny object opportunity. And what I've learned is most millionaires and high performers, I should say, are the ones that say no more than they say yes, and they protect their time and their circle. So you've done a great job of that, man, while still exploring new things, and you're not afraid to invest in yourself. And I think that's one of the things that most people are too afraid to do. So I want to make sure I highlight that as like one of the themes of this episode outside of mobile home park investing is be willing to invest in yourself. And even if you think something is scary or daunting, it's worth taking the leap in exploring it, or else you'll be stuck in the same cycle that you're always stuck in. So kudos to you, man. You have a great story. I certainly learned a lot. Corey, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I just have one last question. Typically, we like to ask this to our guests as we wind down the show to talk more a little bit behind the, or in between the ears, if you will, of Tim. So you did a lot of things traditionally in the beginning, like, and I say the beginning of like your career, I'm sure you went to school, nursing, you got into that. Then you went this unconventional path and you found this entrepreneurial bug of like, oh shit, like I don't have a paycheck coming in every 2 weeks. Like this is scary. Like this is different. This feels, meanwhile, what I know about entrepreneurship is those are all the right things that you're feeling, you know, and like there are people that shy away from them forever and they never get to their actual full potential. So this isn't about me, but long-winded way of asking, what is your why, Tim? Like, what's the reason you do what you do every day? Like, what's the burning desire, the thing that gets you out of bed every morning? And just talk to us a little bit about that.
So it's interesting because it has evolved over time. When I got into real estate, I was like, man, I want to get rich. And like, that was it. And now it's like, man, I want to be rich, but like, also I'm excited about growing this company. You know, like that's exciting to me. I'm doing this thing that like that a lot of times I follow my excitement and my joy. And like growing something way bigger than me with people that I really enjoy. So like right now the vision is by 2030, we want $250 million of mobile home park assets under management. And then, you know, like I said earlier, I am good at casting visions. So like even bigger than that, and this is just more of a recent kind of development, looking at like, okay, what are the needs in the world? So I know affordable housing is always going to have a need. So how can I build something much, much bigger than me that you know, lasts way past me into the future? So the vision now is, you know, 250 million assets under management by 2030 as a springboard to get 100,000 people housed by 2050, either in our communities or in adjacent communities to us. So, you know, just leave that impact, make the world a better place than how I found it.
I love that.
That's great. Ryan and I both love that. We spoke over each other because of how much we did. Go ahead, Ryan.
Sorry. Yeah. I was letting you go, then you're letting me go. But yeah, dude, that hits home. And I think when you put someone else into your why and wanting to serve others, it just amplifies things on a different scale. And when you're doing things for yourself, sometimes there's a way to kind of take a sidestep, or maybe you're slower one day, but when you're doing things for other people, that fire just pushes you further. So, you know, one thing that I really appreciate about you is you're a contrarian thinker, right? Like you mentioned, when the tide's going left, you're pushing to the right. And I do like that. And I think those are, for a lot of entrepreneurs that have seen a high level of success, that's what they do. Or they see a need in the world, once again, what you have, and then you just drill all the way down and you niche. Riches are in the niches. So you focused on that. I like thinking outside the box. You didn't just go for the single family, the duplex. And the last thing I want to touch on is, I appreciate you mentioning this, is continue chasing your excitement, right? That's for listeners. That's where things get really fun. And you mentioned you're not really focused on the dollar as much these days. And I think that's important because Corey and I, we found that is the more we chase a dollar, the more the friction you get, right? Because for whatever reason, it just feels like the dollar's pushing away from me. But when you're chasing a goal, a dream, a desire, the dollars seem to come. And the more people that you serve, it just seems that it comes full circle. So I really like the chasing excitement and building that lifestyle design, right? Like you're doing something now that you want to be doing, you know, not that you weren't doing amazing things as a nurse, but now this is something that fuels you, gives you excitement, energy. Everything else just will fall in line, right? The universe has a funny way of putting the right people in the right places. And like, as long as your vision is so clear in your head, you'll find the end destination. So overall, dude, very impactful episode. Proud of all that you've accomplished. It's, you know, you've done this all in a relatively short amount of time. And that's not to say we're always focused on chasing things to do it quickly, but you've put the right people in the right seats. And that's a hard thing to do when running a business. So appreciate you drop some gems on us, and it was very inspiring.
Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate your time today.
You got it, Tim. If people want to learn more about you, they want to follow you, they want to maybe go find deals and help you out in your business and network, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So, I mean, Instagram, tim.woodbridge, Facebook, whatever, tim.woodbridge.whatever, 54, I think. I'm on LinkedIn. You know, all the social places and stuff like that. Don't find me deals. For everyone out there, don't look for deals, because that's just creates more like time for us. I mean, we got a really good system of underwriting stuff. What we do need, we are always looking for capital. We're always looking to serve investors. We got, you know, great returns. We do a minimum 2x equity multiple in 5 years, and we kill it in terms of tax savings, like year one depreciation. I mean, we just had a 74 cents on the dollar year one depreciation for something we just closed. And that doesn't even take into account 100% bonus depreciation. That's like as is, right? We're very conservative, very much. We love mobile home parks because they're low and slow. They cash flow. They're very stable and recession resistant. So if y'all want to co-GP, y'all want to bring some people, you know, by all means, let's talk. You can email me at tim@wcginvestments.com, but please, for the love of God, like, bring some value first. And if you don't, like, don't be too like offended if I just turn you away with like, here's some value that I can provide you. That's like a canned response, because I promise I like a lot of people, but man, I can't answer everything. So my time is limited nowadays.
I appreciate you not beating around the bush, because I think sometimes people try to figure out how they can provide value, and they're probably thinking sending you deals is providing value. So you're looking for co-GPs, you're looking for capital, look for partners, all good. If that resonates with you, anyone of you listening, reach out to Tim. Tim, thanks again for dropping some bombs, man. And we look forward to next time.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate you.
So if you're enjoying the show, one thing that would go a long way for us would be sharing this podcast episode or the podcast in general with a friend, family member, or someone else who you think might benefit from it. It's pretty hard to grow a podcast, and we're bringing out these episodes every single week, and we want to continue to do so. And in order for us to grow, a couple things you can do is, one, leave us a 5-star review. That would go a long way. And then just share this with someone else that you think could benefit. That would be amazing. And we appreciate it. And we're looking forward to bringing out more episodes for you.